الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue فقه العبادات, understanding worship, the creed section, the section on عقيدة. And then the following question was raised to our Shaykh رحمه الله محمد بن صالح العثيمين. The question is, the creed of the Muslims regarding عيسى عليه السلام, regarding Jesus عليه السلام, peace be upon him. This is question 51. We would like you to tell us about the creed of the Muslims with regard to Isa, to Jesus, son of Maryam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Also, what is the ruling as to the saying that he was killed and crucified? The answer: the belief of the Muslims regarding Jesus, Isa, son of Mary, may Allah salah and salam be upon him, is that he is one of the noble messengers. He is one of the noble messengers. In fact, he is one of the five messengers foremost in their resolve. Foremost in their resolve. And they are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Musa, Noah, and Jesus. May Allah salah and salam be upon all of them. So the five messengers foremost in their resolve are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Abraham, Musa, Moses, Noah, Nuh, and Isa, and Jesus. May Allah salah and salam be upon them all. Allah the Most High mentioned them in three places in the Noble Book. Allah mentioned them in three places in the Noble Book, meaning the Quran. So he said in Surah Al-Ahzab, which is chapter 33, verse 7, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And remember when we took from the prophets their covenant, and from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from Nuh, from Noah, Ibrahim, Abraham, Musa, Moses, and Isa, Jesus, son of Maryam, son of Mary, we took from them a strong covenant, a strong covenant. Also in Surah Ash-Shura, in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in 42:13, شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. Your Lord Allah prescribed for Nuh, for Nuh, and that which we revealed to you, O Muhammad, and that which he prescribed for Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, that you should establish the religion acting upon what is prescribed and not split into sects with regard it. Now, we believe that Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, is a human from the children of Adam, created from a mother without a father, and that he is a slave worshipper of Allah and his messenger as well. So he is a slave, one who is not to be worshipped, and a messenger not to be denied, and that he does not possess any of the qualities of rububiyyah, any of the qualities of lordship. Rather, he is as Allah has said about him in Surah Az-Zukhruf 43:59, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Isa, Jesus, is not but a slave of ours whom we granted our favor to him, meaning we blessed him with guidance and iman, and we made him a sign to the children of Israel. And that he, Isa, may Allah salah and salam be upon him, did not command his people to appoint him and his mother as gods beside Allah. In fact, he told that which Allah has commanded him with, أن يعبد الله ربي وربكم, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:117, worship Allah, my Rabb, my Lord, and your Lord. And that he, Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam, was created by the word of Allah, be, was created by the word of Allah, be, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states about him, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, as in Al Imran 59. Verily, the likeness of Jesus, of Isa, before Allah, in Allah's sight, is the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust, then he, Allah, said to him, be, and he was. And that there is no prophet between him, between Jesus, between Isa, and Muhammad, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. As in Surah As-Saff 61 verse 3. And remember when Isa, son of Mary, son of Maryam, said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah unto you, confirming the Torah which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. But when Ahmad, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to them with clear proofs, they said, this is plain magic. Na'am, Surah As-Saff, actually yes, verse 6. And no one's faith will be complete, no one's faith will be complete until he believes that Isa, that Jesus, is Allah's slave and messenger, and that he is free from and high above what the Jews described him with. They said he was son of a prostitute, conceived by way of fornication. We seek refuge in Allah from this. Allah the Most High cleared him of all of that. Also the Muslims disassociate themselves from the way of the Christians, who went astray in their understanding of the reality with regard to Jesus, son of Maryam, son of Mary, since they have appointed him and his mother as gods besides Allah. And some of them said, quote, he is the son of Allah, end of quote. And others said, Allah is the third of three, meaning Trinity. As far as him, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, being killed and quote, crucified, then Allah, the one free from all imperfection and the Most High, categorically and decisively denied that he was killed or crucified. So he, the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala and magnificent, said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. For 157, inshallah, one by one until 159. وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا وَإِنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. But they, the Jews, they killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put over another man, and they killed that man. And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. For surely they killed him not. But Allah raised him up with body and soul unto himself, and he is in the heavens. And Allah is all-powerful, all-wise, and there is none from the people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians, but must believe in him, that is, believe in Jesus as a messenger of Allah and a human being, before his, meaning before Isa's, or a Jew or a Christian's death. And on the day of resurrection, Jesus, will be a witness against them. Therefore, anyone who believes that Isa, that Jesus, son of Maryam, son of Mary, may Allah, Salah and Salam be upon him, was killed and crucified, then he has denied the Quran. And anyone who denies the Quran is an unbeliever. So we believe that Jesus Isa alayhi salam was neither killed nor crucified. But we say that the Jews drew on themselves the sin of killing and crucifixion, since they claimed that they killed Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, while in reality they killed him not. Rather, they killed someone who was put there to resemble him, because Allah put the resemblance of Jesus over a man from amongst them, and they killed and crucified that man. And then they said that they killed Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. Thus the Jews drew upon themselves the sin of killing and that of crucifixion in their testimony concerning themselves. And as to Jesus, son of Mary, Allah the Most High cleared him of that and protected him and raised him up unto himself in the heavens. And he shall descend to earth at the end of time before the establishment of the hour. And he will judge by the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will judge by the Sharia, the laws, the legislations of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning those of Islam. Then he will die on earth and will be buried in it. Then he will be raised, ascend, just like the rest of the children of Adam, since Allah the Most High says, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Therefore, thereof, meaning the earth, we created you, and into it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. As in Surah Al-A'raf as well, قَالَ فِيهَا تَحْيَوْنَ وَفِيهَا تَمُوتُونَ وَمِنْهَا تُخْرَجُونَ. He, Allah, said, therein the earth you will live, and therein you shall die, and from it you shall be brought out, meaning resurrected. This is regarding Jesus alayhi salam, our creed towards Isa alayhi salam. Now, the following question now, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Question 52, the division of the ummah. Question 52, the division of the ummah. We would like to know the extent of the split up within the ummah after the death of its Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer: the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, as was authentically related from him, that, quote, the Jews were split up into 71 sects, and the Christians were split up into 72 or 3 sects, and that this ummah will be split into 73 sects, all of which are in the fire except one. And when the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is that one, the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, quote, that which I and my companions are upon today, though that which I and my companions are upon today. This is reported by Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and declared Hassan good by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani, and also it is reported by Ibn Majah and declared Sahih there, authentic, by Sheikh Al-Albani, and also reported by Imam Ahmad. No, not Khalidun. No. This sect, which the Prophet ﷺ described as that which I and my companions are upon today, this sect is the saved sect. It is saved from bid'ah, from innovation in this life. And in the hereafter, it will be saved from hell. And it is the victorious group. And it is At-Ta'ifatul Mansura, the victorious group, until the day when the hour will be established. It continues to prevail, abiding by the command of Allah, the Most Mighty and the Most Magnificent. As far as these 73 sects, of which one is on the truth and the rest are on falsehood, some people attempted to enumerate them. Accordingly, they classified the people of bid'ah, the people of innovations, into 5 categories. And these sects, and knowledge as to when it will be reached, is not possible until the end of time, when the hour will be established. So it is more deserving that we generalize that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summed up and say, this ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except one. Then we say, whoever contradicts that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon, then he is included in these sects. And it is possible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may had indicated fundamental matters concerning these sects, and of which now we are able to know only 10 of them. It may be also that he had indicated certain fundamentals with branches included therein, as it is the view held by some people. And with Allah is the knowledge concerning this matter and all matters, meaning the specification. Now, the characteristics of the saved group. Question 53. We would like to know the most distinguished qualities of the saved group. The answer: the most distinguishing quality of the saved group is the adherence to that upon which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon in matters of aqidah, in matters of creed, in matters of worship, of ibadah, manners and transactions. You find the saved group distinguished in these 4 matters. With respect to the aqidah, to the creed, you find it holding on to that which is proven by the Quran and Sunnah, from pure tawheed, pertaining to the Lordship, divinity, and the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all in their uniqueness to Allah. Regarding worship, you find it distinguished in its perfect adherence to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon in matters of worship, and in its execution of them, as regard their types, manners, timing, places and causes. So you don't find them innovating in the religion of Allah. Rather, they are in an utmost degree of good manners with Allah and His Messenger. They don't introduce any kind of worship which Allah did not approve in advance before Allah and His Messenger. You also find them distinguished from others in their good manners, love of good to the Muslims, openness of their hearts, cheerful faces, eloquence and so forth, from the noble and beautiful aspects of manners. And with regards to transactions, you find them treating others with truthfulness and clarity, and which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded in his saying, al-bay'ani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa fa-in sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima wa in kadaba wa katama muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima. The seller and the buyer have the right to keep or return goods as long as they have not parted or till they part. And if both spoke the truth and described the defects and qualities of the goods, then they will be blessed in their transaction. And if they told lies or hid something, then the blessings of their transaction would be lost. This is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So this is the distinction and the distinguishing mark for Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the saved group, which follows that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. Question 54. is it necessary that the characteristics in the four matters, creed, worship, manners and transaction, be totally or completely present without diminution? And in case anything of it gets diminished, rather, does this take the person out of the folds of the saved group, or it doesn't? The answer: diminution in these matters does not disqualify the person as being from the saved group unless he fails to fulfill the aspect of Tawheed or that of innovation. The matter is just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا in Surah Al-An'am. And for all, there will be degrees or ranks according to what they did. Failing to fulfill the part of Tawheed and that of innovation may take the person out of the saved sect. Similarly, with respect to ikhlas, with respect to pure intention. However, as far as the matters of manners and transactions, then failing to fulfill them does not take the person out of this saved sect, though he is sinful for this. Question 55. Is there something you want to add concerning the qualities of the saved sect? The answer: all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, the Lord of all creation. And I ask Allah to have His salah and salam upon our Prophet Muhammad, his family, and all of his noble companions. The truth of the matter is that there isn't anything to add, since the four fundamental matters that we have mentioned are clear and sufficient. However, it might need some details with respect to the matter of manners. So, the most important aspect of manners is unity and agreement on the truth. Unity and agreement on the truth. The thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined on us. شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. Your Lord Allah prescribed for Noah and that which we revealed to you, O Muhammad, and that which He prescribed for Ibrahim, for Abraham, for Musa, for Moses, for Isa, for Jesus, that you should establish the religion acting upon what is prescribed and not split into sects regarding it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that those who split their religion into sects, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear of them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Verily those who divided their religion and break up into sects, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have no concern of them in the least. So agreement and unity of the hearts are from the most distinguished qualities of the saved group, Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. In case disagreement amongst them occurs due to ijtihad meaning deduction of reasoned decisions to suit particular circumstances based upon fundamental guidelines from the Quran and or authentic Sunnah. This is the meaning of ijtihad. I will repeat. Ijtihad means deduction of reasoned decisions to suit particular circumstances based upon fundamental guidelines from the Quran and or authentic Sunnah. So, in case disagreement amongst them occur due to ijtihad, in matters where ijtihad is applicable, then they don't hold enmity, hatred or hostility against each other. Rather, they believe that they are brothers, even if this kind of disagreement takes place amongst them. And this is true to the extent that each of them would pray behind the Imam, believing that the Imam is not in a state of wudu, whilst the Imam believes he does have his wudu. An example for this: is that each of them would pray behind someone who ate camel meat, believing that it nullifies the prayer, whilst this imam believes that it doesn't. Thus, each of them consider that the prayer behind this imam is correct, even though if he would have prayed the same prayer after eating camel meat by himself, he would have considered it incorrect. All of this is because they consider that the difference in opinion arising from ijtihad in cases where ijtihad is permissible is in reality not a disagreement, since each one of the disputants follows what is incumbent upon both for them to follow from the evidence that is impermissible for either one to relinquish. They see that if their brother disagrees with them regarding a certain action and does this in compliance with the evidence, and this is very important condition the Shaykh is laying down, they see that if their brother disagrees with them regarding a certain action and does this in compliance with the evidence, then in reality he is in agreement with them. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is because they themselves call for the following of the proof wherever it may be. So if he disagrees with them based upon his conformance with what he regards as valid proof, then in reality he is in agreement with them, since he is in conformity with that which they call for and aim to, from judging by the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is well known to many scholars that what took place between the companions with regard to similar matters of disagreement, even during the time of their Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not harshly denounce any one of them. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from the battle of Al-Ahzab, Gabriel came to him and directed him to set out for Bani Qurayba, the Jews who broke the covenant with the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered his companions and said, look what did he say. He said, none of you should pray Asr prayer, none of you should pray Asr except at Bani Qurayba, at the settlement of Bani Qurayba, when you reach the Bani Qurayba. So they left Medina for Bani Qurayba, and when the time for Asr prayer arrived, some of them delayed their prayer until they reached Bani Qurayba, and therefore prayed it outside of its time. They did not pray until after sunset, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you should pray Asr except at Bani Qurayba. Others, however, prayed on time and said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intention was for them to make haste in setting off, so that when the time for Asr prayer arrived, they would already be at Bani Qurayba. So those were the ones who were correct in their understanding. In spite of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not blame any one of them, and none of them held any enmity or hatred against each other because of their disagreement in understanding this text. And that's why I believe that it is a binding duty upon the Muslims who belong to the Sunnah that they should be one nation, and that factionalism should not occur amongst them. A person belongs to this group, and another belongs to another group, and the third belongs to a third group, and so on. And in such a manner, they fight amongst each other with the spears of their tongues, and they hate each other and take enemies out of each other because of a disagreement whose ruling is permissible to deduce by way of ijtihad. And there is no need for me to specifically mention each group, but the sensible person would understand and the matter would be clear to him. So I believe that it is incumbent upon Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah to unite, even though they may dispute in what or in that wherein they have been differing as a result of their understanding of what is necessitated by the texts. All praise is due to Allah, for this is a matter in which there is ample scope for accommodation. And what is important is agreement and unity of the hearts. And there is no doubt that the enemies of Islam love that the Muslims are divided, regardless whether they are enemies who openly express their hostility, or enemies who pretend to be friends of Muslims or Islam, while in reality they are not. So the obligatory thing is that we should be distinguished with the distinctive mark, and that is we are from the same sect that agrees to unity. That agrees to unity. Now, the question 56. The correct and false tawassul. We would like to know what is the correct tawassul. Tawassul meaning seeking nearness to Allah. We would like to know what is the correct tawassul and what is the false tawassul. The answer: التوسل is the infinitive of توسل يتوسل, meaning to take a means that will make the person reach his intended goal. So its original meaning is seeking to attain the intended objective. This is the linguistic meaning: seeking to attain the intended objective. And it is divided into two types: correct, and this is the tawassul through the correct means leading to the intended goal; the incorrect one, and this is the tawassul by a way that does not lead to the intended objective. With regard to the first type, and which is the tawassul by the means that lead to the intended objective, then it is itself of several types, including: number one, tawassul seeking a means of nearness to Allah by means of His attributes, regardless whether it is done in the general or specific sense. An example on this general way is the statements mentioned in the hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu concerning the invocation said to relief from distress and grief. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أصاب أحدا قط هم ولا حزن فقال اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. O Allah, I am your slave, son of your male slave and female slave. My forelock is in your hand. Your judgment concerning me is continuously executed. Your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name which is yours, with which you named yourself, taught to anyone from your creation, or sent down in your book, or which you kept to yourself in the knowledge of the hidden with you, that you make the Quran the nourisher, the life of my heart, the light of my chest, the removal of my sadness and my anxiety. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad, and the wording is his, and Al-Hakim and others as well, and its isnad, its chain of narration is sahih, as declared by Al-Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. With regard to this case that you heard now is tawassul by means of Allah's names in the general sense, as in his saying صلى الله عليه وسلم, I ask you by every name which is yours, with which you named yourself. With regard to the specific aspect, then it is to make tawassul by means of one particular name for a specific request befitting this name. I repeat, with regard to the specific aspect of tawassul, then it is to make tawassul by means of one particular name for a specific request befitting this name, like what was reported in the hadith of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to inform him of a supplication that he may use in his prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kabira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. In the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught Abu Bakr the dua was as follows. Say, O Allah, I have done great injustice to myself, and none can forgive sin except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from you, and be merciful to me as you are. Look at the name that is used in the dua now, very specific, linking it to the request. As you are the most forgiving, the most merciful. So he sought forgiveness and mercy and made tawassul to Allah the Most High by means of two of Allah's names befitting what is being requested. So he said, you are the most forgiving, the most merciful. This type of tawassul falls under the saying of the Most High Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And all the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by them. Supplication here comprises two types. Supplication when a request is made, and this is known as dua al-mas'ala. So supplication is of two types. Supplication when a request is made, and this is called dua al-mas'ala. And invocation through worship. And the second type is invocation through worship, which is called in Arabic dua al-ibadah. Ibadah is worship and dua is the invocation. So there are two types of supplications. Supplication of request, when the request is being made, this is called dua al-mas'ala. And the second type is invocation through worship, which is called dua al-ibadah. With regards to the tawassul to Allah by means of his attributes, then it is like the tawassul by means of his names, in the sense that it could be general and specific. As to the general way, then it is like you saying, O Allah, I ask you by your beautiful names and most supreme attributes. Then you mention your request. And with respect to the specific way, then it is to perform tawassul to Allah by means of a particular attribute that is specifically related to a particular request, like that which was mentioned in the hadith earlier, and also like which is mentioned in the following hadith: Allahumma bi'ilmika al-ghayb wa qudratika 'ala al-khalq ahyini ma 'alimta al-hayata khayran li وَتَوَفَّنِي مَا عَلِمْتَ الْوَفَاةَ خَيْرًا لِي. O Allah, by your knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and your power over the creation, grant me life for as long as you know that life is good for me, and grant me death when death is good for me. This hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Here tawassul to Allah, seeking meaningless to him, is by means of the attribute of al-ilm, knowledge, and al-qudra, power, by your knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and your power over the creation. So this comprises the one type of tawassul. All of that you hear now, this is one type of tawassul, which is tawassul by means of the names and attributes of Allah. The second type: a person seeks means of nearness to Allah by means of his belief in Allah and his messenger. So he says, for example, O Allah, I have believed in you and in your messenger, so forgive me, or grant me success and restitute. Or that he may say, O Allah, by my faith in you and in your messenger, I ask you such and such. And from this is the saying of Allah, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alteration of night and day there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Those who remember Allah always and in prayers, standing, sitting and lying down until Allah says, our Rabb, our Lord, verily we have heard the call of one, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling to faith, saying, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. Our Lord, forgive us our sins. Look at this. After they declared that they believe in Allah and His Messenger, they requested, O our Lord, forgive us our sins and expiate from us our evil deeds and make us die in the state of righteousness along with the Abrar, along with the pious and righteous believers. So they sought nearness to Allah by their iman, by their faith in Him, and He forgive them their sins, expiate from them their evil deeds and make them die along with the righteous and pious. So this is the second time. The third time is to make tawassul to Allah by means of righteous deeds, And from this is the story of the three people who entered into a cave to sleep in it. They were trapped in the cave when a boulder rolled down from the mountain and blocked the entrance of the cave and they could not remove it away. So each one of them sought a means of nearness, tawassul, to Allah by means of a righteous deed that he had done in his life. So the first one of them used his kindness to his parents, as tawassul. And the second used as tawassul his perfect abstention from fornicating with his uncle's daughter. As to the third one, he used at-tawassul for his preserving the right of his employee. Each one of them said, O Allah, if I did that seeking your face, then release us from our situation. So the rock moved. And this is tawassul to Allah by means of a righteous deed. The fourth type of tawassul is to use as tawassul the conditions of a person, meaning that the supplicant seeks a means of nearness to Allah by mentioning his circumstances and his state of need. And from this is the saying of Musa, the saying of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. O my Lord, I am in need of whatever good that you bestow on me. In doing so, he is using tawassul to Allah by mentioning his condition, asking Allah to bestow whatever good on him. A related case is in the saying of Zakaria in Surah Maryam, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba. My Lord, my bones have grown feeble and gray hair has spread on my head. So these are some of the types of tawassul, and all of them are allowed. Since they are good means to use as tawassul to attain what is being intended. Now, a fifth kind of tawassul came in response to the following question. Are there any other types of tawassul in addition to the four that you have mentioned? The answer, yes. There is an additional type, and it is the seeking of nearness to Allah by means of the supplication of a righteous man, and whom it is hoped that his invocation will be answered. because the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invoke Allah for them generally and specifically. Indeed, it is reported in As-Sahihain in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the transmission of Anas bin Malik that a man entered the mosque on the day of Friday and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the sermon, and this man said, "O Messenger of Allah, the livestock are dying and the roads are cut off, so supplicate to Allah for us that He should give us rain." So the Prophet ﷺ raised up his hands and supplicated and said, "O Allah, bless us with rain," 3 times. And he did not descend from the minbar, from the pulpit, until the rain was dripping from his beard. The rain continued for a whole week, and on the next day of Friday, the same man or someone else came while the Prophet ﷺ was standing giving the khutbah, giving the sermon, and said, "Buildings are being destroyed and livestock are being drowned, so supplicate to Allah to withhold it from us." So the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and said, "O Allah, around us and not upon us." So he didn't point with his hand in any direction except that the clouds cleared away and we went out walking in sunshine. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. And there are several incidences on which the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to supplicate to Allah specifically for them. And from this is the case when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the 70,000 of his ummah who shall enter paradise without reckoning nor punishment, and that they are those who don't treat themselves with ruqya. Ruqya, which is the recitation of Quranic texts on an ill or charmed person as a treatment from disease. Nor do they believe in good or bad omen, nor do they get themselves branded, meaning cauterized, but they put their trust in Allah. Thereupon Ukasha bin Muhsin stood up, one of the companions stood up when he heard the Prophet ﷺ saying this, and said, "O Messenger of Allah, supplicate to Allah to make me from amongst them." So he ﷺ said, "You are one of them." And this is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And this is also from the kind of permissible tawassul, that a person asks someone to supplicate to Allah for him if it is hoped for that this person's supplication will be answered. However, it should be that the person requesting someone to supplicate Allah for him intends to benefit himself and his brother, the one from whom he asked the supplication, so that the request is not solely for his own interest. Since if you want to benefit your friend as well as yourself, then this will end up as something good for him. And this is because when a man supplicates to Allah for his brother in his absence, the angels or the angels say, "Ameen," and for you the same. "Ameen," and for you the same. Similarly, when someone supplicates Allah for his brother, then he is from those who do good by virtue of this supplication, and Allah loves those who do good. Now, the incorrect and futile tawassul and its types. Question: having known the correct tawassul and its types, then it is inevitable for us to know the incorrect tawassul and its types. The answer: the incorrect and futile tawassul is to use an unprescribed way, something which is not affirmed as a legal way by Sharia, as a means of nearness to Allah the Most High. Since tawassul in this manner is from nonsense and falsehood that contradicts the intellectual and textual proofs. And from this is that a person uses the supplication of a deceased man as tawassul to Allah. He asks this deceased person to supplicate to Allah for him. Then this is not a correct and prescribed means. Rather, it is foolishness on the part of the one who asks this deceased man to supplicate to Allah for him. Since once he dies, the actions of the deceased cease to exist, and it is impossible for him to supplicate to Allah for anyone. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not possible that he supplicates to Allah for anyone after his death. For this reason, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum did not use as tawassul to Allah by asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invoke Allah for them after his death. In fact, when the people suffered a drought at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, quote, O Allah, we used to ask your Prophet to supplicate on our behalf to you, and you would bless us with rain. And now, we ask the uncle of our Prophet, meaning Al-Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, to supplicate to you on our behalf, so bless us with rain. So Al-Abbas stood up and supplicated to Allah. Now, had the matter of asking the deceased supplication to Allah been a permissible and correct way, then Umar and those with him from the companions would have asked that from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Since the response to his supplication is more likely to take place than that of Al-Abbas, what's important therefore is that tawassul to Allah by means of asking supplication from the deceased is false and impermissible. And from the incorrect type of tawassul is to seek nearness to Allah by means of the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, O Allah, I ask you by the rank of your Prophet to grant me such and such. This is since the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something of benefit to you. It is only beneficial to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as regard to you, then it is of no benefit to you that you use as tawassul to Allah the Most High. And as we have mentioned, tawassul is seeking the correct means that is fruitful. So what is of benefit to you in that the Prophet ﷺ has an honorable status with Allah? And if you want to make correct tawassul to Allah, then say, O Allah, I ask you by my faith in your Prophet, or by my love of your Prophet, or the like. Then this is from the correct and beneficial means. On this question, inshallah, on the answer, we stop. Inshallah, tomorrow we continue question 59. And it is about the affirmed and annulled intercessions. Affirmed and annulled intercessions. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.